where we're going to ask you all about our Aggie football team. And it should be lots of fun. We've got women's soccer for you later. We got Would You Rather for you later. We got World Series talk for you later.
What?
To pay you back for going through this with me at the start of the show.
Thank you.
And then we'll get to some Aggie basketball stuff right at the end of the show. Mm-hmm. First of all, let's just talk a little bit about losing to a good team with maybe the conference's best player on Friday night. We lost big 40-13 against San Diego State here at home. Football team looked good for about one drive, and then a minute later we were right back to being tied, and we gave up 40 straight points. My question to you is to lead off this segment.
This hot seat segment.
Is that a good loss?
Logan, is there ever a good loss?
No.
I think it's one that we can take. It doesn't sting as bad because I don't think anybody except for like my fan prediction, right, expected anything different, really.
I saw Ethan eye roll.
This is not at all a good win or a good loss. I mean, first off, there aren't really good losses. I mean, even if you lose to a really good team by a little bit, it's still a loss. It's not necessarily good. It's just not a bad loss per se. This was a bad loss, and I feel extremely bad about it because I had really high hopes, and I've been really optimistic about our team all year, and I even predicted in the pregame show that we'd win 28-24, and then we just went out there and did awful. And it was, Paige says it wasn't painful, but it was extremely painful for me.
Nah, it was painful.
It was soggy.
Soggy's another good word for it.
Mm-hmm. It was nice to see boys like Don Levitt and Devontae Mays back playing in full jersey again.
Yeah, that was good, but there was just
the reason why
so many
I think
deficiencies.
It's one we can take. It's one that I'm not, I don't know, like still, it still like hurts a little bit to think about, right? Mm. But that last touchdown we got said a lot about our team. And I think that fight that they had, even though like whatever, it was the last quarter, the game was way decided. The game was decided probably before the half. I think the fact that we went and still scored was very telling about our football team.
It looked to me like we had our first drive all scripted out in practice the week of preparation, and we went out and ran it to perfection and felt really good about ourselves. We got like in the end zone early, which is something you always want. You can't ask for a better start of the game. And then it looked like their defense put their heads together and said, all right, guys, let's get serious, and then just shut us down the rest of the game.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, when you have to give like a presentation in class and you're like, okay, like, maybe you get really nervous about it, so you plan out all, like, how you're going to start, how you're going to present, the joke you're going to tell to get everybody's attention, right? And then you, like, get that part done, and you're like, oh, I didn't plan the next part. I didn't expect they were going to ask me this question, or blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And they kind of just, that's what our team looked like to me.
Yeah, that is an apt metaphor.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I learned my metaphors from you, so.
Okay.
I'm only trying to be like you, Logan.
I don't think that's a good idea at all. let me posit this to both of you now. We've got Wyoming on Saturday. We're in Laramie. Tough place to win, as Boise fans witnessed this weekend, in a bit of a thriller, actually, in Wyoming.
We all hear Tommy's
winning by a safety. Somewhere,
a game-ending safety
Tommy's
is not.
Soul is screaming right now.
I didn't know we were going to see Tommy again. He just stopped texting me at that point. I had to look up the score on my score app and find out what happened. It was a bad way to lose for Boise, but now Wyoming's on top of the division. They're undefeated in conference play. Their only loss of the season came early on against just kind of a weird, they just had a bad game. It was just some obscure team the second week of the season. My question is Wyoming truly the best team in the division, the Mountain Division, and can they beat San Diego in the title game?
No.
No.
Mm-mm. Preface this with, I probably don't know enough about Wyoming to have just said that, so surely. But the way I saw San Diego play, we're probably gonna, I know we're going to talk about him later, but Pumphrey, like, literally destroyed so much. And I think even Boise, I don't know, I just don't see Wyoming being that part of the division. Hmm. Even though they did just beat Boise.
Do you think they will go to the title game?
Yeah, probably. But
you think San Diego waxes them?
Yeah, I don't see San Diego losing to them.
I'm inclined to believe that Wyoming has a chance. I mean, I'm not gonna think that either one is gonna be better than the other at this point, because Wyoming has shown a lot of fight and they've got a lot of talent. Yeah, we're talking about Pumphrey, but the running back for Wyoming, I think, is better than Pumphrey is. He's
really,
yeah, he's in a more balanced offense, so he doesn't get quite the stats. But the dude ran all over us last year, and that's when his team was awful.
Yeah,
and on top that's of true. That, their coach is awesome. He's really good. He built up that North Dakota State program that has won 5 straight national championships in the FCS division. And when Paige, Tommy, and I had a chance to meet with him at Media Days this summer for the Mountain West, you know, he was super cool. We talked a little bit about it on the pregame show. But I loved that he recognized our student section and said that they were really good and all that. And he thought it was really cool that we were the only, like, student, like, journalists that were there. And he was talking to us about kind of what he teaches his team. And it's all about being, you know, cowboy strong is what he called it. And so he teaches his players to be mentally strong and physically strong and to work your butt off. And because of that, I think they're in a fighting chance to win any game. Last year, they just lacked talent. And this year, they've got some more talent. They've got some experience. And the coaching is really good. They've got athletes. I wouldn't count them out of any game at this point. I mean, their 2 losses came against Nebraska, who's really good this year,
sure,
and Eastern Michigan, who it was a close game, and they've done decent as well. And so this is a team that, you know, maybe they don't win that game, but I wouldn't count them out of it, and I don't expect them to get blown out just by the way that they're coached and the way that they're, like, their culture is becoming.
Interesting.
And especially at home. I mean, if they're playing in Laramie, like, that's going to be – which they are against San Diego State on the 19th of November. They play them in the season. And
that should be fun.
They're going to be playing in Wyoming in November. It's going to be cold, and San Diego State's probably not going to enjoy that too much. But, of course, they're built for it,
right.
So they're running the ball rather than trying to pass. But to me, they're going to be hard to beat there. They've got great fans at Wyoming that will follow them everywhere. I mean, they had more fans at the Mountain West basketball tournament last year than anybody, and they had one of the worst teams.
I think it's fair to say that a lot of people expected Wyoming's football team to be on the rise, but not necessarily surpass Boise, at least not this year. And they look ready for coming seasons even to fight for that Mountain West crown in the Mountain Division from Boise and any other team that decides to rear its head in a given season. So that's interesting to me, and I do like their coach.
Yeah, their coach, I like him a lot.
Strong foundation on that team. It should be that could be interesting for War Memorial Stadium to be kind of the place where the season is decided instead of up on the Smurf turf.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, if Wyoming wins out and they say they beat San Diego State when they play them at Laramie, then for the championship, San Diego State would have to go back to Wyoming to play that because we played on the team with the best records home field. And so if Wyoming gets to host that in, like, the end of November, or is it, like, the first week of December? Yeah, the first week of December. You know, that's going to be another cold game that will benefit them more than it will their opponent.
It's always tough to beat a team twice, but I think if Wyoming pulls it off the first time, or, in fact, I think maybe even if Wyoming loses a close game the first time, that gives them a big edge as far as hosting them or even playing them in San Diego again.
Yeah, I mean, if they lose that game to San Diego, then San Diego will host the championship game.
If it's a close game and they lose by a field goal or some last-minute touchdown and then they play again a few weeks later, that's going to be, for the first time in a long time, the Mountain West title game might be must-watch for any football fan, which could be interesting.
Yeah,
for a long time, I don't know necessarily if it reached that level.
Mm-hmm. Good for the conference, for sure,
so,
which in turn is good for us.
Focusing a little more on USU's football team, this one's going to put you on the spot, and I'm sorry in advance.
It's okay, Logan.
I want you to tell me who the single most important player on Utah State's football team is.
Yikes. I think the single most important player on Utah State's football team... Oh, you know, at the beginning of the season, this was so much easier to answer.
Are we talking about most important for them having success or just, like, should, like, how they play dictates how the team plays?
The most important person on that team.
Just players?
Just players.
I'll let Paige answer, but then I'll throw in my idea.
First one that comes to mind.
Kent Myers.
Why?
I know there's been, like, a lot of... like, what's the word? Heckling? I don't know about play calling. But if a play can't be executed and, like, he's a playmaker, you know? I think defensively they've shown us that there's not just any one player they can pick. So I go offensively. And I, more than anything, I think Kent Myers would be most responsible for a thing that happens.
Interesting.
Offensively.
Aggie defense gave up 40 straight points on Friday.
But how long were they on the field? Because the offense couldn't move the ball at all. At one point I looked at it and the opponents had the ball for like 40 or for 30 out of the 40 minutes that we had played the game. So when your defense is stuck on the field that long, they're going to get tired and they're going to give up points. And to me, that's the reason why you realize they made them kick like four straight field goals throughout that, because their offense wasn't doing anything. They were constantly on the field, but they were still stopping them. And then at the end, I mean, they gave up a couple more touchdowns just because they were exhausted.
The start of the fourth quarter was obviously the – I mean, the game was – I don't want to say out of reach with an entire quarter left to go, but giving up a score and then a pick six score on – was it back-to-back plays? Was that our next play? I mean, with like 13 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, that's
– Yeah, it was
– That's crushing.
Pretty close to back-to-back.
I don't know. That's the nail in your coffin.
Yeah. So the time of possession, 36 minutes and 45 seconds for San Diego State, 23 minutes and 15 seconds for USU. And I swear that we probably had the ball like 7 or 8 minutes straight in the fourth quarter, just because, you know, they had their second stringers in there and we managed to move the ball a little bit.
Which is great, because it keeps with this theme the last couple years of the Aggies just being the Seattle Seahawks light, and both teams have the same problems all the time and haunt me every weekend, which is just just grand. I love it.
I love my
teams being terrible in the third quarter. Yeah, it does. That's the most haunting part of the Aggie football team is that the offense just seems ineffective, and it's hard to point blame at any one player, which is why I gave this to you guys. Mm-hmm. Could be coaching, could be not enough halftime pep in their step. Could be just talent, like a lack of talent. I don't think that's what it is, but I'd actually agree. I think Myers is the guy that has to make things happen, and I think if you replace him with someone like Boise's Brett Rypien, I think we win this season just if you replace those players a few more games.
Can I ask a question?
Maybe.
Am I allowed to put you in the hot seat?
Yes,
or is that like going to ruin
it? It's a brand new show, so there's no rules yet.
Perfect. I love no rules. What do you guys both think about the idea of utilizing Damian Hobbs more than we do?
I think a lot more about it now than I did halfway through the season. There are a lot of people calling for Kent to lose his job, I thought, too early. I thought he played pretty great against Colorado State, and then a lot of things went wrong, not just his play. But since Colorado State, I could be more convinced that just some more size and maybe not the greatest throw in the world. We know he's not super accurate, but lately neither is Kent. And so if you add some physicality to your quarterback and you're not losing anything as far as accurate throwing, that's a net gain at the quarterback position, because right now Myers has not looked sharp.
Mm-hmm. I've been contemplating that, you know, when I just take walks.
Walking through the cemetery,
ponder these things,
kicking leaves.
Yeah, I kick leaves and I think about what it would be like to see more of Hobbs on the field. And I honestly think it'd be a really good idea. So, like, hey, Coach Wells, my homeboy, if you're listening, I don't know.
I think it'd be that. With a really key game at Wyoming this week. I think it'd be an interesting curve to throw at him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to me, I really wanted to believe in Kent Myers, but he hasn't made great decisions all year. I mean, it's not just that, you know, he's struggled to be accurate with the pass. He's not always making the right read on the play with read options, which a lot of that falls onto the quarterback to decide, should I get rid of it or should I keep it? And he seems to make the wrong decision a lot of the time. When you constantly just hand it off, that doesn't work. Honestly, the most important player should be Devontae Mays, but based on our system, it can't be on the running back, because your quarterback, you know, is doing that read option most of the time when you're running the ball. And so to me,
I think Mays
should be
probably the best player on the team.
Yeah.
In terms of just raw talent.
Agreed.
But I agree. And I wish I could tell you how much of Kent struggling has to do with a pretty disastrous offensive line. It's pretty bad. And I don't know how much of Kent's play is because he's feeling the pressure, or he's just trying to get the ball out quick because he knows it's going to collapse sooner rather than later. It's also why our running game is really struggling, and so a lot of blame can be placed on that unit. But overall, I feel like if Kent makes plays, we're just in a very different spot in the season, regardless of play call, regardless of anything else.
Honestly, I think a big part of it is our system, you know, because when we go in that spread formation and our quarterback's in the shotgun all the time and he's got to do those read options, and I mean, it really, there's no deception when you're running the ball and have play action on those. All you do is just slow your time before you're actually trying to look down the field.
Yeah.
When you're doing a play action out of the shotgun, to me, that doesn't hardly ever work because everyone can see what you're doing. Like with a play action,
if you're watching at home on TV and we're not surprised, the people being paid to be your defensive coordinator on the other sideline probably also aren't going to be surprised.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, if we had run the I formation, if we run that about half the time, I think we would improve a lot, because you can have your running back going uphill when he takes the handoff, so he's not getting tackled behind the line of scrimmage. Also, your linemen, I think, will be better off, because when you're constantly just like setting up to do pass protection, you kind of aren't as aggressive as an offensive lineman. Whereas if you get them moving forward, like with San Diego State and Wyoming and Boise State, you know, when they have that, you know, running up the field mentality, the linemen are a lot more aggressive and they can make up for maybe some inadequacies that they have. And we just are, I think our system puts us at a disadvantage. And I mean, that's something I've talked about before. I really don't like our system. It's something that it's similar to what I ran in high school, and it would work at times, but it would stop working pretty quick. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take that as a segue into my last question for you guys until we're going to go for a break just right after this. We're going to keep this one short. This isn't a loaded question. I honestly want to know, at what point, if any, should Matt Wells feel that his job is in danger at Utah State? This season, beyond, I don't care. But like, at what point, what has to happen to our team in order for him to feel like he's in the hot seat?
I think, in a perfect world where people don't expect more than they should, being in like the Mountain West, he should never.
He should
being
never.
Being at Utah State, I should say, not Mountain West, but being at Utah State, I don't think that should be a worry for him with what he's done so far, unless, of course, next season and the next.
To be fair.
As horribly as this
one. To be fair, those expectations were set by him.
Yeah.
At the start of the season when we're talking about, hey, he could have come out and said, we're rebuilding, we're going to try to make a bowl game, we're going to play our hearts out every single game and give a total coach answer. And we would have been like, all right, Aggie fans are fine with that. We know what it's like to have a pretty cruddy season. We should be happy with 6 wins at the end of a season.
But I don't think the fact that his expectations, which weren't those but were higher, weren't met, I don't think the fact that those weren't met is necessarily his fault.
I think that he should feel, you know, not secure in his job, because the team has declined in its, you know, performance the last 3-4 years.
Well, I mean, we had a 9-10 win season.
I know, and I get that. I get that, you know, you can't just stay at that peak all the time. However, you know, when we drop to, you know, 50% on our win total last year and then lose the bowl game, and then this year we're going to be lucky if we get to 50, up to 500. To me, you can't just ignore that and keep going. And I get, you know, I like Coach Wells. I think he's a nice guy and everything. I think he does a good job recruiting. To me, I just don't think he's doing a good job calling the offensive plays. And that, to me, is the biggest problem I have, because our offense is the biggest problem this year. And I thought that our offense would be a strength this year and that the defense would need time to catch up because they replaced a ton of people.
Yeah.
But to me, you know, he's, you know, I like him. I don't want to see him, like, gone or anything, but we need to see something out of this offense. And just week after week, it's just been pitiful, and he's the one calling the plays. And sometimes it's execution, and so I don't want to put everything on him. But a lot of our play calling isn't great either. When you – on third down, all your reads are before the, you know, the first down marker.
Not good. Like 5 yards short.
Yeah, and so for me, I mean, that's on play calling. Like, sure. Yeah, I mean, maybe there's one option that was past it, but you got to have multiple options because someone's going to be covered. And to me, I don't think he does a great job in play calling. I don't like the system, and it's obviously not working in the Mountain West. Mm-hmm. It might work in the Big 12 because that's how they all run it, and their defenses are all terrible in the Big 12. but as far as the Mountain West, there's there's more of a focus on defense, and I don't think that he's adapting to what his opponents are giving him. When you look at how bad we've been in the third quarter all year, you know, that a lot of that is halftime adjustments, and we're not making any.
That's the killer for me, because I personally, and we'll keep this short because we got to get to a break, but what kills it for me is he probably doesn't know this because of things I've written in the Statesman and said on the radio. I think Matt Wells is a great football, not a good football coach. I think he's a great football coach, because there are more jobs to coaching football than winning football games. That just happens to be the most important to most people.
Yeah.
He graduates his athletes. He tries to keep a good culture around the football program that's not an arrogant one of self-entitlement because they're on the football team. We've got really humble guys on the football team. And, traditionally, you can expect a above 500 season from the guy. And to me, that makes him a pretty great football coach, one we're lucky to have. The problem for me is we come out at the half and other teams make adjustments and start owning us, and we don't. We look flat. We've played bad. I don't think in Wells's time at Utah State, even with really, really great teams, we have a good history of coming back and winning games after we're down by any amount, which is concerning. I think that's an area of concern where even if you like Coach Wells, you have to be a little annoyed by, which hurts me because I like the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm with you. Like, I like him. I mean, every time that I've been around, he seems like a really good guy. Like I said, I think he does a good job recruiting. I think we've got a lot of talent. I just don't think he's doing a good job calling plays, and that's my biggest thing. Halftime adjustments is another thing that is huge up on the list, like you said. I mean, you have to be able to make halftime adjustments if you're going to coach, because if you're not, then, I mean, you look at what happened with Arkansas State. We were destroying them in the first half. They come out and made halftime adjustments, and we didn't.
They made it a game. They
made it a game.
And
it shouldn't have been.
Maybe we're hiring or giving play calling duties to a good OC away from Wells being right back on top. Maybe that's all.
Yeah, and it could be that. And I hope that that's the case. I hope that, you know, we can get something. It's not working how it is, and he hasn't shown that, to me anyway, that he's been willing to make an adjustment for it not working.
But. Gotcha. All right, guys, we're going to do a break. You've been listening to Cash Money. This is Aggie Sports Radio. I'm Logan Jones. This is The Sports Page, and this is Ethan. We're going to be back right after this. Welcome back to Cash Money. You're listening to Aggie Sports Radio. I'm Logan Jones. With me, as always, is the lovely Sports Page.
What up?
And sitting in the very comfy seat is Ethan Chadwick. And we are going to talk a little bit about the upcoming women's soccer tournament in San Diego. Women's soccer ended with a final conference record of 7-4 this season, which is good enough for the 4 seed. They were tied with San Diego for third place in the conference, lost the tiebreaker. They would be the 4 seed as the highest seed they've ever gone in the postseason. They're going to play Wyoming on November 1st in San Diego tomorrow. And that's actually, they beat Wyoming earlier this season 3-0 at home.
Sick.
So that bodes well for us. They're going to, Jessica Brooksby, at their last game in Boise, which, by the way, they creamed Boise up in Boise over
Sweet
the weekend.
Cream.
They beat them 6-1. Jessica Brooksby tied the single season assist record with 9 and now ranks second all time for Aggies with 16 total career assists.
Sick.
Which is pretty fun.
Love that. So Jessica Brooksby, she's a senior forward. She, along with Kelsey Anderson, were named to All Mountain West first team. Junior forward Wesley Hamblin and senior midfielder Jane Robinson Merrill got second team honors, and Maylee Enos was named to the all newcomer team, which honors freshmen and transfer students. So super sick that all 5 of them were able to receive those honors of All Mountain West. So way to go, girls!
Props to USU soccer.
Mm-hmm. They've been killing it this year. I'm really excited to see where they go in the tournament and how they bring that championship, maybe, you know, like that mentality to Utah State, which.
It'd be awesome. And Jessica Brooksby, I had a chance to, when a game I went to last year, she got a hat trick. Super good. I mean,
sick.
Super stoked. And now she's a senior, you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we're going to lose her. But she's done awesome for us.
We got Wesley Hamblin, who should be a first teamer this year, nominated to the second team. She'll be around next year. So hopefully she'll take the. I would love to see a hat trick here. I missed that game. That'd be so. I've seen one.
I got to play bubble soccer at halftime too. So,
that's
pretty awesome.
All right, let's play some Would You Rather, and this is gonna cover a spectrum of sports. But But we're going to lead with Aggie football because that's what we've been talking about, and then we're going to move through a couple of the different things. Would you rather? It's going to be a blast. This one we can have a little bit of fun with because it's going to, like, let's see where everyone's allegiances really lie. Would you rather Aggie football beat BYU or win out in conference play but lose to BYU?
Can I put two in?
No.
As Paige,
this isn't the pregame show. You can't have two predictions.
Okay, wait.
There's not a Hannah Montana
so on this question,
situation happening here.
Are we saying that if we beat BYU, we don't win another conference game? Or we just don't win them all?
Just no guarantees. Would you rather be guaranteed a BYU win or guaranteed we win out in conference? But for sure lose to BYU.
I would say BYU.
You would guarantee a win against BYU?
Yeah.
I would guarantee... this one's really hard because, like, I would love to, despite a lot of people in my family that would love to see, like, BYU win.
Don't do it.
I think out of spite is the wrong way to go with these things. So I'd rather see the team win out in conference play. I'd like to see that for Coach Wells and the players. And also for, like, Aggies in general to, like, restore a little bit of hope going into next season.
Interesting. I honestly couldn't decide, which is why I asked it of you guys, because we're talking either way about hopefully beating New Mexico and Nevada football teams, and then Wyoming and BYU being the third win that we need to be bowl eligible. And I think it's I would actually take the BYU win over winning out in conference. I'm with Ethan on this one.
Yeah. I mean, because just to win out and then lose to BYU would be – I don't know, it'd be sad. I don't want to lose to BYU ever.
I would consider we could lose our next three games and then beat BYU in their place, and I would consider that like an okay season. Not successful, but okay. It's okay. Because if
that
anything,
win would
it
be
just,
sweet. That's
it just
for
means
sure.
They lost to a bad Aggie team. That'd be totally fun for me.
Yeah, and then I mean, on top of that, we at least end on a high note.
Sure.
There's another thing. Yeah.
Seniors don't go off with a bowl win, but they do go off with a rivalry win. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be good for them for sure. But I just feel like long-term win out in conference might mean more. But how funny would it be for BYU? Because, you know, they'd be like, oh, we beat you. Like, really? Like, you beat us this season? Like, of all seasons to beat us. Like, yeah, okay. Because that's just classic BYU, like when they played Wagner. Anyways, we're done.
Okay.
With that one.
Would you rather USU be a basketball school or a football school?
Basketball.
Wow, that was fast.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't even have to think about it.
Didn't. Well, it's because I had thought about it. I read it. I cheated.
I did not cheat, but that's why I had to think about it for a minute. I'd probably have to go with basketball just because the spectrum can be so much more electric than the stadium can be. And if you get that thing, like, full, like, we could, you know, make, you know, huge case for us to be nationally relevant every year if we could be a basketball school dominant. Now, I'm totally fine with us being good at both. I will not take
that's
that
against
away.
The rules. You can't pick
the
that.
The universe will not allow us to be good at two sports at once. So,
I think that's like a thing that's against Utah State.
Yeah, to me, yeah, I would go with basketball as well. But
interesting. I thought I was going to have to fight you guys on that. I was going to defend basketball. I thought you were going to both say football school.
I mean,
do you even know me, Logan?
I don't know. I thought you were going to say baseball.
What I would give. Do you know how much? Never mind.
Well, I mean, our baseball team is pretty good. I mean, they've won two national championships in the last 5 years. So, I mean, that's pretty good.
I love being good at football. Like,
yes, I do too.
It was fun. But I agree with Ethan on the national relevance scale. Utah State actually has like some notoriety in the past that we can play off of if we ever make the tournament. Like, hey, Utah State, by the way, wins a lot of basketball games. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice to get back to that.
I have a different reason, and it's just because football culture is becoming very distasteful to me.
Is it because of the NFL? Is that discussion
it's
for next
dripping
week?
Dripping down, but yeah. Mm-hmm, it's just, I'm just kind of, dare I say,
culture. We can talk NFL versus NBA next week. That's an interesting discussion.
Let's have that conversation next week.
Tommy wants in. Tommy's in the window right
Hi,
now.
Hi, Tommy!
Tommy wants in on that discussion.
Tommy says, hey, listeners.
We've had that discussion in his Pontiac.
And there is a smile on his face, just so you know, even after his team lost this past weekend. We just want you to know that there was a smile on his face.
And you just had to bring it back
so
up.
So unnecessary.
He had forgotten about it for a couple minutes.
I just wanted everybody to know that he's okay.
Yeah, he'll be okay.
He's
but
gone now,
that wasn't fake rage either. He's really upset.
I know, but I was trying. I
heard angry Tommy noises coming through the window.
Oh goodness.
But yeah, so
I agree. I love the culture that surrounds basketball. I love that we've got an interesting freshman class coming in. I love Coach Duryea. I love that Kobe McEwen's like heralded as like this like diet Damian Lillard that we might have in the wings here. Like,
that'd be awesome.
Could be really fun.
He's also a fun guy. Like, I I got to help out with the basketball camp this summer with the team, and I was joking back and forth with him about him needing to stay out of the sun so he didn't get sunburned. Like, he brought it up, and I just like went with it, and I was like, dude, I thought we talked about you not going out in the sun. You're like super dark now. And it was just like going along and joking back and forth. He seems like a really fun guy. And I mean, all the guys that I was talking to were all really cool about it.
Here's my favorite. This is not even on the paper. This is on the script for today. Here's my favorite thing about our basketball team this season. I think they like each other.
Yeah, they seem to like each other when
like,
I was around
them. They
actually
are friends with each other. It's not like a clique thing happening this year.
Yeah. Yeah,
that
for sure.
Me
I mean,
super excited.
The entire time that I was helping out with that basketball camp, like they all seemed to like each other. They got along. They were joking around back and forth and stuff. There wasn't like any. I mean, I didn't, you know, realize that, you know, they didn't get along in the past few years all that much, but the summer, like, I could tell that they liked being around each other, like playing with each other. And so, I mean, yeah, that was early on. That's not like they'd even played with each other that long and been like, oh, yeah,
right.
we're cool. I mean, they're like,
half
yeah,
the
I mean, we're all cool.
Yeah.
And they're good, too.
They are. I think they're tallied to I think they're picked just barely to finish sixth over whoever's seventh place. Maybe Boise. I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
But
yeah,
we're picked to finish barely over seventh place, sixth in the conference this year. And I feel like those are the perfect expectations to set for a team of a bunch of newcomers with like two good veterans on the team, three good veterans on the team.
It's good if they meet it, good if they exceed it.
Yeah, like they should feel motivated by that to do better, but they also don't have people's high hopes riding on them and pressuring them early on in the season. I think it's a perfect situation for Kobe McEwen to come in and not be immediately like expected to score 30 points a game, because we still got Jalen and Shane and Julian and all those guys.
And Quinn.
Yeah. But if they finish sixth this year, but they're fun to watch and they have fun doing it, I'll absolutely consider it a successful season.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a lot of competition in basketball in the Mountain West as well. I mean, they've got a lot of decent teams in the league. So, you know, ending up sixth wouldn't really be that bad. And we could still have a pretty dang good record and end up sixth. I think that we can even do better, but you're right. It is good to have that expectation about there, because, you know, if they exceed it, great. And if they just end up about
and
right
should,
there,
they should probably
that's
be
a good launching point for next year as well. So,
yeah,
I mean, I'm super excited about the season. I really hope that we, you know, start out strong as fans going to the game and fill up the spectrum.
Yeah, I agree.
And kind of restore it to what it was before.
Well, Kobe's only ever played in front of like 300 people. So
anything's
even the
be
preseason game is going to be deafening, but I agree. We should come out in full force for this season. It should be fun, not just because basketball games are fun, social events because it's basketball, but the way they're going to play on the court and enjoy each other and hopefully win some games should be fun.
Yeah, and our home crowd used to be the third best like environment to play in the country behind Duke and Kansas, like the toughest place for an opponent to play. And, like, we can easily get that back. We just got to show up and do what we do.
We consider the last couple of years to be, like, down years for the Spectrum.
Yeah.
We're still probably the second. I think we're the second best in the Mountain West.
Oh, yeah.
I'd give us second place.
As far
to
as.
To who?
Yeah.
I think I'd give it to San Diego.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shoot. Yeah. That tournament. Oh, that was horrible.
They're loud and proud. I would not give it to New Mexico. I think New Mexico actually doesn't fill up. I've looked at the numbers because we're putting together the Statesman basketball preview out in a couple weeks. And they fill their stadium to a lesser percentage than we do, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, and, you know, San Diego State, I would agree with you, is probably the best at the moment because they're also kind of unified. They do this their pregame thing where they do a song from Muse. Was it Victorious or whatever? What is that called?
Yeah.
The song.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't remember what the song's called right now. It's slipping my mind. But anyway, they all kind of do that cheer together at the beginning of the game, and it was kind of intense.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them, tournament.
And they're loud, and they know it. And it's,
I was like, whoa.
As much as I hate to give them their due, the show is for real. But I would put us right after that, and that's on a down year, and on a couple down years to many. So.
Yeah, I mean, you look back when we were still in the WAC, and we would – win 30 games a year, and like we'd always have people full. Like if you didn't show up an hour early, you were going to be stuck near the back.
I remember even my freshman year in 2013, you had to show up early to make sure you got a good seat. You didn't necessarily get not a seat at all if you didn't show up before game time. But if you wanted to sit in the first 30 rows, you got to be there for an hour before the game.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you have to go there as soon as it opens because, like, the first half of the student section will fill up. Yeah. That's what it was. I mean, now, like, I showed up, like, half an hour before when I came back up here, and I got right to the front. And so it was like, come on, guys.
So we all work in media, and like, we get how this works, but it still amazes me that the word gets out when the team is playing well, because it's just a matter of if the team won their last game, people are there sooner. And I don't know why there's such a strong correlate. Like, you'd think that if people were going to go to basketball games, they would just go to every game because it's fun. But it literally, like, you could watch last season, like, did we lose last game? Then there's less people. A noticeable amount of people are gone.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you win again, all of a sudden they all come back. And it's that volatile. Like,
mm-hmm. It's weird. I feel like that is a reason why I would really love to see us be a basketball school again. Or more so than we are, because I think, in a way, we're still a basketball school.
I think
I would love to see that, because then fans would be more invested in the team rather than they are in a record or in a show.
This could be a key year in the basketball program, like, as far as just historically, because it's almost like we left basketball for a little vacation as a football school for 3 or 4 years, and we still want them to be good. We don't want to go back to the 0-12 days or anything like that. They should still be respectable. But it's almost like Aggie fans are ready to come back to, like, hey, basketball, I haven't seen you in a bit. It's been a couple years. We had all these NFL draftees on the football team, but now all of a sudden we're back here. Like, if there's ever a time for basketball to welcome fans back with open arms, it would be this season.
And I think that's kind of what Coach Duryea wants. He wants to get his team out there and get people to be more involved with the team. And I think that that's great. I think that it'll help a lot. And, you know, if we can get people there from the beginning of the year, they're going to have success, because we're going to be loud and we're going to make it tough for opposing teams. And then we'll just continue to rack up wins and build confidence. And, you know, I think that we'll do awesome. We just have to, you know, start going immediately and then stay there. Because I think we lost a couple of games last year that we would have won had we had a better turnout from the crowd.
I agree with that. Let me give
you
this one.
I think that should be the case.
Let me give you this one. Who's this year's X factor on the basketball team?
Julian Perry.
So not Jalen, not Shane. You're gonna go Julian.
Julian for sure. Mm-hmm. I think the way, like, he's a fundamentally sound player, which is absolutely necessary in our conference, in college basketball, in basketball in general. It should be necessary, but I think the NBA probably wouldn't agree.
I'm gonna stop giving you my show outline if you're gonna answer so fast. You have to think.
No, that one I already knew. That one I knew very. That wouldn't be hard for me to answer anyway.
I could agree with that. He stepped up really big in the Mountain West tournament last year as well. I really like him. I wish that he would have gotten some more playing time last year, because Julian Perry is awesome. And I mean, I could easily see him as being one, but for the sake of difference. We'll try maybe, and I mean, let's not throw in Kobe McEwen, because we expect him to do pretty well. I would give it to Daron Henson, which is how you pronounce his name. If you were wondering, it's not Daron, it's Daron. I know that just because I was around him and I heard his name said correctly. So
did you ever say it wrong, or did you just hear it?
No, I heard it before knew what his name was.
It's like my worst fear is to interview an athlete and be like, so Daron. Oh, sorry.
No. But yeah, so it's Daron for all those who are wondering. And even if you're not wondering, now you know. But anyway, I was impressed with him. He's a cool guy. He's tall. He's athletic. Kind of Jalen Moore-esque in that way, that he's taller, but he still can be like more of a perimeter player, like a true small forward.
Is he going to rebound for us?
Hopefully. I mean, I didn't have a chance to see him as far as the rebounding side goes.
He's a name you hear a lot in practice about rebounding.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because that's I pretend to be upset, but I actually just deep down really am a little bit upset, just because last year we ranked like 100th in the nation in mm-hmm. like defensive rebounding or something.
Yeah,
it was something super awful.
And I'll get to that in a second. But I mean, I don't know how he's going to be, but yeah, I have heard that that's a big focus for him. But he can shoot from like anywhere, and he's tall. And so he's got the length defensively to play well and all that. And I think that's something that we've missed a lot. Like last year, we were basically in a three-man big man rotation, and one of those was Jalen Moore, who wants to play as a wing.
It made us pretty one-dimensional.
Yeah.
If you're a defensive-minded coach looking at our team, you think you shut down Jalen Moore and make somebody else beat you. And most of the time, I feel like that would work.
Yeah, and now I think that there's a lot of different options. I think Deron can stretch the floor, and he can be the three. He could even slide down to four if he needed to. But we've got a lot of big guys that this year that we didn't have last year that are true bigs.
Nice.
And
that's always nice.
Yeah, I mean, we've got Gore, or Bernaba. I think it's Bernaba. But it's spelled N-G-O-R, but it's pronounced just Gore.
This is an important show to listen to for anybody who hasn't been following Aggie basketball offseason, because all the pronunciations for all the pregame warm-ups, like, we got them all out there now.
Mm-hmm.
So. But yeah, so Gore's a big dude. Like, he's solid, and he's going to be good. I mean, I think he might be projected to be the starter. I'm not sure on that, but either way, he's going to get lots of time.
The Spectrum crowd will love a guy named Gore.
Yeah.
They'll love him.
And he's
super cool, too.
Very accurate prediction.
He's super cool, too. I mean, I was delivering a sandwich to Clay Stalls, because I've delivered to him a few times and stuff. And, you know, Deron and Gore were coming back from getting food somewhere else. And I was like, hey, Deron, why didn't you accept my friend request or whatever? And Gore's like, dude, accept his friend request.
I need Clay Stahl to, like, be a good player this year and get me excited about him, because he reminds me too much of the Icelandic player in Mighty Ducks 2. and so I just have, like, this inherent, like uneasiness when he comes up. But, like, he's one of, like, our own team's players.
He's way
I should
cool.
cheer yeah. for him.
I think
he's way cool, actually. He has
good,
a really sound family behind him,
cool.
which I think says a lot about a guy. Also, he's been one that the people have their eyes on, whether it's coaches or fans.
Yeah.
He's one. I've had the chance to talk to him a little bit. He's hilarious. He's, like, really social. So he and I, of course, just hit it off because we're both really social. So I was able to talk to him just a little bit and figure out kind of how he is as a guy. And he seems really sound, so
Was that when you had purple eyebrows and blue lipstick on, or is that just a today
thing?
No,
I was not a space hippie at that moment, or a 2016 or a 23rd century gypsy, as we've decided.
Can I just say I love that our first live show has been on Halloween, and that you have purple eyebrows.
Yeah, I mean, the purple eyebrows were the must for today. I'll probably do purple eyebrows every Monday.
All of our pictures from our first live show together this semester will be of, like, oh, why? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You got Logan and I not dressed up at all, right. any sense of the word, and then Paige is over there like, yeah, space gypsy. I mean, that's not actually what she's going for. That's just been the
space gypsy. There it is.
That's what I think. Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
It's been decided. You heard it here first, folks.
As a favor to you, because you're my favorite person to co-host with.
Thank you.
I did leave some room at the end of the show for the World Series. The
you
show's
can't
gonna be
hear
mostly,
the tears running
mostly
through
Aggie sports.
Down my sparkling
we talk
makeup,
about national stuff sometimes, but there's a World Series going on. And it's actually kind of a big deal as far as World Series go.
How do you let everybody know the sound of my huge smile right now? Is there a way to relay that on radio?
I think I know the answer to this question, but would you rather see Cleveland win it all and continue the year of Cleveland sports, except the Browns? Or would you like to see Chicago end the 100-plus year drought?
I hated Cleveland sports year idea as soon as LeBron became a part of it, so I always have. And
tell us how you really feel.
I would love to see the Cubs just... I love everything about the Cubs. The only reason I've never cheered for them is because they've never been worth cheering for, and I already
Ouch.
Had my teams. Now they are...
102-year-old grandma is listening to the show somewhere, just like, how dare you?
Yeah, and she'll probably come and haunt me and probably wish curses on my posterity, but that's the facts. That's how it is. They've never been a team that's eye-catching unless they're already your team. But... Oh, my gosh.
What? I could have done without that.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That was not 102 grand, granny. Anyways, 102 year old.
That was
Anyways.
The girl screaming about how you say that the Cubs are. That was actually Evan's spirit was screaming because you were saying that the Cubs aren't worth cheering for most of the time.
Unless you're a person like Evan who's always cheering.
If I would have known we had a scream sound effect on this show available to us, talking about Donnell Pumphrey earlier today would have been a lot more exciting.
Yeah.
Because we could have just 223 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I wasn't quite ready.
Yeah.
We also have an eagle.
Oh, okay.
It's almost like a scream.
Okay.
That sounds a little bit more like a seagull.
We
but
got
Cubs taking it all,
you
especially
think they're
gonna... since they're not ahead in the series right now. How beautiful!
Really?
I mean, the Cubs are already in the World Series. Anything can happen. It's baseball. It's God's sport. Anything can happen.
I'm pretty sure Rockies fans would disagree with you that anything can happen.
They might. And maybe Mariners fans.
If ever there was a team to be able to relate as far as like, oh, hey, yeah, we were really close once, but then we blew it and haven't been back since. Like,
mm-hmm.
I feel like that was a Purple Dinosaur podcast tweet a couple days ago.
Let's be like very frank here. If the Cubs don't win it, making it to the World Series will mean nothing.
That's true.
But
that's true.
Man, everybody's wall is just shattered right there.
On fire.
But I think when they do, it's going to be beautiful. And I'm not going to guarantee that there won't be tears shed.
So this
by
will,
me.
This will be really funny if it ends up going to Game 7 and Jerry Arrieta is pitching. Because on my show, The Bullpen, sometimes we do a thing called Doomsday. And for our first one, we doomsdayed the Cubs because they were having a really good season. And the doomsday, briefly, was just in Game 7, you know, in Cleveland, you know, going to the bottom of the ninth, the Cubs are up 3-0, and Jake Arrieta is pitching a perfect game. And then he gives up a single, two walks, and a grand slam to lose the game.
It sounds game seven, so real when you say it that way.
I know. And so, like, if this actually happens, like, Evan and I are going to Vegas. Yeah, that's something that I was joking
that's
about
painful.
With him.
I just got sick.
I'll be honest. Like, I'm a Red Sox fan. I don't have a dog in this fight. And I should deep down, like, want other teams, like, historic haunted droughts without a championship to end just like mine finally did.
Gag
but,
me.
But I don't. I want the Indians to win it.
I don't.
I love the ongoing storyline that Cleveland, it's like, picking itself up by its bootstraps and turning into like a solid sports city, except the Browns.
And, which is what people care about most.
And it would actually mean a lot to the city of Cleveland. Like, people obviously know the narrative behind the Cubs because we've been getting it for 180 games this year. But it actually would mean a lot to Cleveland also, and it's been 70 plus years for them. And I talked to Jeff over at the Front Row Show about this on his podcast when me and Paige were over there. And just hearing it from a Cleveland fan, it's kind of...
He almost cried, you know.
It's kind of one of those things I want my children to have in sports. Like I don't want to be like, oh, when I grow up, the Cubs, you know, there's this thing where the Cubs never won, but that's not really a thing anymore. I want them to be like, yeah, the Cubs still never win. There's just some things in sports you know, and that's one of those things. The Cubs never win it. Trump's not going to be president. The Cubs don't win the championship. The world's not going to end in 2016. We got at least 4 years to go. We're not quite to the apocalypse yet. It's not time for the Cubs to win the World Series.
Well,
I think it's time, and I think their roster gives me like more than just hope behind that.
Their roster is good enough to get them back to here at this point, like maybe for a couple seasons to go still, but it's really hard to get back to the World Series.
It is, but I mean, honestly, I can still see them coming back and winning this. Yeah, it'll be tough, but how funny would it be if the Indians gave up a 3-1 lead when the Cavs came back from
the irony would be strong. Would be strong. And you gotta know that's what Cleveland fans are thinking right now. It's like,
yeah,
we've been on the happy side of this.
Let's not go for the saddle. And it's like it immediately happened with the Warriors. You know, they were down 3-1, they come back and win, and then they're up 3-1 and then they lose. So, you know, maybe this is the universe saying, yeah, Cleveland was up or was down 3-1 and they came back and won, and now Cleveland's up 3-1.
Now we're gonna take the Indians from them.
And then look for the Bulls to be up 3-1 in a series this next year if they make it to the playoffs. And then lose.
They play
like,
in the East.
It's
going to
be a crazy series. Like, if that just perpetuates, it'd be nuts.
I would enjoy that.
It'd be lots of fun.
Who is your pick to win the next game?
The Cubs.
Yeah. You don't – you really
– I think it's going to 7 games.
You think so?
Yeah, for sure. I think this is – I just believe in baseball enough for that to happen.
Okay.
I'm more of a baseball fan than I am of any particular team or player. I'm way more a baseball fan than I am even a Yankees fan or a Mariners fan or even a USU fan. And I think that – I just think this is one of those years where we get to 7 games. And it's going to be – I think it's even going to be right down to, you know, that last out, 9th inning. And I will cry.
You'll
I will.
Cry.
I would take the – Indians winning it if we got to 7 games. I'd be fine with that because I want a 7 game series. That's
you don't think
that would
be
baseball.
More heartbreaking?
No. I oh, yeah,
to
for sure. More heartbreaking
then...
for Cubs fans, but I'm not a Cubs fan. I'm just cheering for the Cubs in this, you know?
Okay.
Definitely more heartbreaking, but that's the beauty of it all. Baseball is an ironic sport.
So, our doomsday will not come to pass in the sense that Jake Arrieta is not pitching Game 7. He's pitching Game 6, and I think that he'll win. So, okay. I'm going to pick the Cubs as well. Okay. Jake Arrieta is pretty dang good, and he shut down Cleveland last time out. So, I would say that he wins, but All right. That's my pick. I say the Cubs win.
We'll find out. Six, they play, I believe they play tomorrow night. They'll play Tuesday night in Cleveland. So, that should be all time. Let me just say, this has been a blast being live with you guys. We're going to do this every Monday at 5. Cash Money is going to be on Aggie Sports Radio. Make sure you listen in for our live pregame show for this week's game in Wyoming. We won't be in Wyoming. We'll be here in Cache Valley still. But we will be doing our pregame show with staff picks and other important info for the football team that you need. That'll be, is it Friday this week or Saturday?
I'm looking that up right now.
I know it's got to be at 8:15 because that's the only time the Aggies play.
Saturday.
It's going to be Saturday, just an hour before kickoff. So listen for that. Last thing to close the show, we want to have a little bit of fun. There's a thing going around Twitter today. It's a visualized graphic of different celebrities and their first pitch attempts to open games.
Oh, okay.
And 50 Cent's all over the place. Snoop Dogg's right down the middle. It's kind of interesting to look at. I'll send it to you both and we can check it out. The most interesting one for me is the most perfectly placed pitch as far as like dead center, like straight down the pipe, was George Bush's game 3 in 2001, wearing a bulletproof vest after the 9/11 attacks.
I get
was
chills just thinking about it.
Straight down the pipe.
Mm-hmm. And he's a baseball fan, you know? He's played baseball.
My question, first, we'll get into presidential ability to throw a baseball some other time on the show. My question to you is, who in Aggie sports would you most want to see throw out a first pitch
in Aggie sports? Oh, I didn't know that. I would love to see John Hartwell.
Yeah,
yeah, because he just has the like stature of that. You know, he's our VP.
I'm sure he's played.
Yeah, when he has the stature, you know, he's just like such a long human. His torso is longer than my entire body.
He's a big dude.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's bigger than me.
Yeah, I would love to see that, and I think it would be a good pitch. I think it'd be a good pitch.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with that. if I were to go somewhere else, I was like trying to think about who it could be, and I don't know. I would have Gore do it just because he's cool. Gore's my homeboy. No, we didn't talk all that much, but he's pretty cool, and I would just give it to him because he's so cool.
Ricky Aliifua.
That could work too.
It's kind of a tie for me because I want to say Jessica Brooksby because of the season she's had and being just a stud. But I also kind of want to see Jalen Moore because you don't see enough afros in baseball.
That's true. I could get behind
and,
that.
If and there seeing was a ever fro a true on a pitcher's statement. Mound,
would that would just make me happy, even for one pitch.
Yeah. Agreed. Afros in baseball. Afros in baseball. Cubs in the World Series.
Don't give me that look, Tommy. This has been Cash Valley. This has been Cash Money.
In Cash Valley.
We cover Cash Valley sports. This has been Cash Money. You're on Aggie Sports Radio. It's been fun going live with you. I'm Logan Jones.
I'm USU Sports Page.
And I'm Ethan Chadwick.
And thanks for listening.
We'll see you guys next week.